I want you to think about what you have, your possessions. Think about the, if you're like me, the stuff that you've accumulated over the years, you know, stuff that you think you need that you really don't. And this afternoon we're going to look at alms. When I first thought about alms, I thought it mainly pertained to money. It's everything. It's everything that we have that we can give to help somebody else. So if you have your Bible, you want to follow along. I have all these verses on the PowerPoint, if you want to look up here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." As the word alms, the definition of it in the Greek is compassionateness, is what it is. It's an exercise towards the poor, those who don't have what they need. The scribes and the Pharisees, they did their alms before men so they look good. And that's what Christ's teaching his disciples here on the Mount is. I mean, that's his disciples, you think about that from the time that they were brought up in the Jewish religion, that's what they have seen. And so Christ, as he gathered his disciples, he's telling them, this is not why we're doing this. You don't do this to be seen of men. You do it to help others. And something very interesting that I saw on this is it never was commanded to them. He just says, whenever you do it. It's just something that they naturally did. They should do. Verse number 3, it says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand hath done, that thine alms may be seen in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." I think probably one of the greatest things that we have, and I look out through the audience and I see it, is the time that you have. You know, how valuable is your time? You know, as a ranch hand or work in agriculture, we really don't want to figure our time into our pay because it doesn't ever pencil out. That's unfortunately. But whenever you see somebody that, have somebody that doesn't, that knows that's a member of the church and they're in a family that there isn't anybody else, how much would your time be worth to them to spiritually lift them up whenever they're down? You know, I've had friends in the past that they believed in God, they believed in Jesus, but the crowd that they run with necessarily doesn't bring out the best in them. So when you think about helping others, how much help could you provide them if you spiritually lift them up and encourage them to be a better Christian in the future than they have been in the past? We're going to look at a story of not doing alms in the correct way. In Acts chapter 5, we read a story about Ananias and Sapphira. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" He had a piece of land that he sold and he was going to give it to the disciples. But he kept back a part of it. Now with what I'm reading here, he's saying that he's given it all. He's given everything that he sold and he's laid it at the apostles' feet. He said, this is me helping you. You know, I've given everything I have. You know, we read about the woman that gave 2 pence. She gave everything that she had. He said, why had thou, Satan filled thy heart? And you think that he, right there, we know that his heart wasn't where it was needing to be whenever he gave that alms to the apostles. Verse number 4 says, while it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, while his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thine husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Where's your heart? You know, I see a lot of people in need whenever I get out of our area. The few times I do go to Amarillo, there's always somebody on the street that wants something. Whether or not they actually need what money that they're asking for, I don't know. And you know, honestly, it's not my position to judge, I guess, but that's usually what I do. But I ask you, what you think about giving time, clothing, food to those who are in need? Where's your heart? Is it to help, or is it to look good before men? Matthew 25, verse number 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. But before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We're commanded to help. And I know I personally probably don't help as much as I should. You know, probably the greatest possession I have is eternity with our Heavenly Father. I hope whenever that day comes that, yeah, welcome in, Matt. Good to see you. You know, we need to tell people about Christ probably more than anything. That's probably the greatest thing that any of us own. So I encourage you today that with probably the time probably being one of the most valuable things that we have, because there's not a whole lot of it, that you spend that time to share the gospel with somebody. You know, I don't have a whole lot of time left with my grandmother. She's 88 years old. She has skin cancer and she refuses to go see a doctor about it. They won't help her. They can't help her. She can do it on her own. Stubborn. Imagine me being related to somebody that's stubborn. I don't have much time with her. You know, and probably the best thing that I could ever give her is the gospel. To give her that opportunity to become a Christian. You know, this story doesn't end very good for those who didn't help. Continuing verse 43, and says that I was a stranger and he took me not in, naked and he clothed me not, sick and in prison and he visited me not. Then shall they also answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go always away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, try to think about the opportunities that I have to spend time with others to help those who are in need. I really don't know a whole lot of people that are going hungry or don't have clothing, but I know a lot of people that aren't Christians. And whenever I think of giving alms to them and to helping them in any way that I possibly can, one of the greatest things I can do to help them is tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, that's one thing that can change a person's life forever. For eternity. In Luke 11, verse number 37, it says, And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms to such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. One thing that I don't necessarily see in people very often is the inward man. You know, I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but I judge somebody from the outside pretty quick. And I told Dad, I met an Apache pumper. I got a new pumper on the ranch the other day, and Dad asked me, you know, how is he? And I was like, well, he's kind of grumpy, but it's 5 degrees outside and the wind's blowing, so I'm kind of grumpy too. You know, the first time I meet him, I'm not, you know, I could say, yeah, this guy is just, well, he don't have a very good attitude. Usually see somebody from the outside, not what the inward man has. And as Christians, we need to see the inward person. And we need to be able to tell if they're clean or unclean. And we need to be able to help them if they are unclean. A verse that I look at that keeps popping up, and I don't know why. It says, pure religion in James 1:27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I mean, you think of something that's pure. Pure religion. There's not a whole lot of things in this world that are pure. I mean, I think of babies. Steak. I consider steak to be pure. Good. But pure religion. You know, giving alms is a big part of charity, of Christianity. And the word charity that we look at in the scripture is defined as love. How much love do you have for your fellow brethren, for your neighbor? 1 Peter, I don't have this one on the board. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." Think about pure love and having love for our fellow brethren. Could you see them hurt and go without if you truly loved them? See them in need and not help them. It's pretty simple, really. Give alms of what you have and help those who are in need. And the greatest thing that we do have is Jesus Christ. And to go without telling them about Him, I believe is just the love is not there. You know, there's several people that I know that don't know the Lord. And I could almost blame myself for that, for not giving them the opportunity to become a Christian.